With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of our MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, or concerns. And on this gorgeous Saturday morning, you are all on the line. All four lines are jammed up. So let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. Let's go all the way to Durham and Kyle. Hey, Kyle. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
The basic question is, I have an OEM copy of XP Service mm-hmm. Pack 3. Mm-hmm. I've installed it many times on it. I have a couple of...
many times? Microsoft's not going to appreciate that, but go ahead.
Well, no. But anyway, I have a couple of old, believe it or not, 18-year-old Gateway 600 series laptops.
I believe it.
One of them's still working fine. The other one's got probably a video card issue.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm curious about is, can I take XP, and of course I'm not using these computers online or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of old music programs and a couple of other programs that I can't get to run on anything current.
Yeah.
Could I install XP on a new computer, or will I have issues finding drivers and stuff?
Well, generally, the answer is no, you can't load it on a new computer because it's just the new computer CPUs are too fast and won't work. Now,
okay,
that's a physical load. You could try to virtualize it. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, they have, when you go to install it, the first thing it does is it looks at what's called the HAL, which is the hardware abstraction layer.
Right.
So every device that's built into that motherboard has an ID, an identifier. So what's the Windows XP is from 2007, actually older than that, 2006.
Yeah, it's old. You forgot how old it
is. So the hardware abstraction layer is not going to be up to date on a modern motherboard.
So what you could do is spin up a Windows 10 operating system on the machine and then spin up a virtual XP area to run your old software, maybe.
You've got to turn on your virtual server. It's in there, but it's not installed by default.
Right.
So you got to add that feature in under programs and features.
Doesn't cost you anything. You just got to turn it on.
That's on like a Windows 10. I would have to do this.
Yep. Yes. And all this is theoretical because even on a virtual config, you may find that, you know, if you're trying to interface with something on your music program with a MIDI device or something like that, it may still not work.
Yeah, I know we're talking about, the age of FireWire and
FireWire
1.1.
Oh. Yeah, wow, that is old stuff.
Yeah. How far back would I say, okay, so the best thing probably if I wanted to install XP and use it, try to find an older computer in...
You could try to find one, but I couldn't tell you which flavor of processor will support it. You might want to, maybe there's a research information on there. But I come across this all the time, Kyle, in our client base. I just met an oil company who's running their entire company off an XP-based system. He's like, oh, we got a backup of it. I'm like, great, but you can't put it on anything new. Oh, we got an old machine in the basement. Oh, good luck. I hope it works when your old machine crashes. It's running your whole company.
Well, I of course have everything saved on external hard drives and everything.
Data wise.
Yeah, and music wise and everything.
Right, but if I can't run the software, like I have a client that does some really cool welding technology, and half their income comes from this machine. It's like running on an XP computer. It's all backed up, Eric. Right? Yeah, sure. What do you want me to put it on when the thing crashes? You know, it's an experiment, and you shouldn't be experimenting to figure out how to run your company after a disaster that where your 15-year-old computer finally crashes. It shouldn't be a surprise. So,
since I'm not worried about like trying to run a company off of it. How far back would I go? Like back to like maybe 6 years, 7 years?
Probably a Core 2 Duo probably will work. A Celeron or a Pentium, believe it or not, you can still buy them. However, to Bob's point, even though for whatever reason they're still selling Pentiums, that could have an HAL layer that is still referencing a new number there, and it still may not load. An old Core 2 will probably work. I mean, if you can find one, a Pentium will work maybe, but probably not.
I'm understanding basically what you're saying. Some of it's going over my head a little bit, but I guess so. Basically, I should not go out and buy a new computer and expect that I could.
Well, you can try it virtually. You can do what we said: buy a new machine, turn on the virtual server functions,
Hyper-V, turn on the Hyper-V,
and then load your XP on that area of the computer and try to make it work. But
okay,
and you got to activate the Hyper-V in your BIOS in order to make it work on your computer.
Oh, that is a physical connection too to do. So a couple of steps there.
Okay, maybe I better call back later when I, when I get to that point.
Yeah,
you can help me out with it.
We'll do our best. It's hard to work on this old stuff. It's
Hey, why do people like classic cars? I guess right.
That's different. See, classic cars are physical. You know, you guys who know what you're doing can make a part if you needed to. Yeah. This is something that's locked down by the ecosphere. It's out of your control. It's not something. It's not something you can modify or just make work by rewiring something.
You can't turn a 2019 Corvette into a 1955 Corvette.
That's a good analogy. That's right.
I understand.
All right.
Thank you for your help. I'll try to keep that in mind. And like I said, maybe I can call back if I get to the.
Sure, we're always here.
Trying to do the virtual XPO. I'll give you a call. Okay?
All right, Kyle. Yep.
Thank you.
You got it. Yep. Bye bye. All right. Let's go to Rich in Westfield. Hey, Rich.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I'll go quickly for you and for the sake of the other people waiting.
Yeah.
I'm an avid radio listener, and I am concerned about the future of radio stations, particularly local radio stations.
All right.
And so I just want to ask you, because you're close to the situation, and folks like you that are so close to the technology may not realize a lot of us out here in radio land, TV land, don't really understand what makes 5G work.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it true that 5G needs AM and or FM radio, as in radio stations, bandwidth, and that the FCC is allowing radio stations to go dark, stop operating as radio stations to use the bandwidth?
I haven't heard that per se, but generally the answer I have heard that bandwidth given, I thought, to old television stations is where the bandwidth is being consumed. But they are...
UHF, is that what it'd be? UHF?
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I would have to go research it again. I have not heard that radio stations have been impacted.
I'll tell you, I'm concerned about it.
I hear you.
Maybe it's just FM, or maybe it's both.
I'll look it up, Rich. I don't know that it's true. I would say it's more probably UHF. I mean, if you look at TV and streaming and all that kind of thing, that's where everything's going when it comes to video. But for radio, I can't imagine the AM bandwidth would be impacted at all.
So you can watch your raw UHF stream on your old tube type television
in the old days, but you don't need to anymore. So I'll look it up, Rich, as far as which bandwidth is being sold off. But it's available bandwidth, so somebody has given it up. So
And I don't want to see and I think by federal law, maybe even part of a constitutional amendment, I believe it's a fact that the airwaves belong to the citizens, and I wouldn't so I think that should remain that way. 5G, I heard your co-host earlier mention 5G is for internet TV too.
Oh yeah,
he used the term cut the cord.
Yeah.
Here in our municipality, I won't repeat the name of the city, but I will just call it City Fiber.
No, we know who you guys are. We're so jealous we can't even tell you. Are you on the fiber?
Well, I don't want to say one way or the other, but they call it, they use the name of the city, but let's just say City Fiber.
Okay.
And when they first came out with it, they started using the slogan, cut the cord.
Yeah.
But fiber is... has to come down the telephone pole to get.
You need a cable.
That's
what you're trying to say.
Cable television has fiber in it also, right?
Correct, but cutting the cord is a misnomer. But it's only out. There's all sorts of misnomers in our lives.
They eventually stopped saying it, but I mean, you've got it in. What am I trying to say? Why inside you had the why? What's it called? What
Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi to get it around the house. Okay, you're not using a cord there, but you've got to get it in the house so that if you want to get it from your computer to your TV, say if you want to do internet, watch your internet on your TV, and that's where internet television comes in.
Correct.
But it's delivered by cable, just like so-called fiber isn't.
Right.
Cable is fiber.
You're right. It's a misnomer, and but again, you should be so happy you have it in your area.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I mean, the buggy whip capital of the world has some of the fastest, cheapest broadband in the area.
The pipe, though, if the content providers keep raising their prices, they'll have to keep raising their prices. And
well, you buy the content from the content provider directly, so actually you cut out the middleman of the cable company, which is to your best interest. Rather than paying the fee the cable company gets a chunk of through HBO, you buy it directly from HBO. So you're
That's an extra cost.
Yes, of course, but
yeah,
that's at least directly
that's
my
point.
Yeah,
once HBO and these other content providers.
Bundle it together.
Amazon and Netflix and all those content providers, they charge City Fiber. City Fiber will be charging increased.
No, they don't. They don't charge them. You're misunderstanding.
Well, okay, so you maybe have to write separate checks. I don't know.
You do.
But
that's the beauty, Rich. You're misunderstanding. You just pay for the fiber, the dumb pipe. That's all it is a dumb pipe to your home.
Exactly.
And they're happy
but
to give it to you.
You have to pay increases if the content. Right.
But
you only pay for the content you want.
You're misunderstanding how it works. Yeah, they're going to charge you just this for the pipe. They are not impacted by what you do for the bandwidth, for the content. You buy that directly from your from them.
Well, that's a little bit more relaxing, let's say. But
yeah. Trust me on this. It's a good deal. It's the way to go.
It's true. Well, it's true, though. You only pay for what you want.
Yep.
But that's true in any... In any case, I'm not totally against it. It's not even was my major.
No, I know. I'll look up the 5G spectrum for you.
Yeah, I'm concerned about radio station owners. Radio station owners just giving up their stations and selling them or leasing them to technology companies like phone companies and cable companies.
Yep.
Who
I hear you.
Who want to put internet on the fiber on the cable.
Right.
Who need the bandwidth in order to make the pipe bigger, as your co-host said earlier in the program.
I hear you, Rich. All right, we got to go, but I'll take a look at the bandwidth as far as what's coming on with the frequencies and get back to you on that during the show. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to more of your calls. Jim, Rich, and Paul, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have not found the answer to yet as far as which spectrum there was auctioned off for 5G, but we'll talk a little bit more to try to clarify, Rich, so he understands what cutting the cable means and how this all works as well, because clearly there's some misunderstandings out there for folks. Let's go to Rich in Prospect. Hey, Rich.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I've got an older HP desktop running Windows 7, and it's time to, I just did pick up a new one for Windows 10.
Nice.
The hard drive on the 7 is starting to make noise, and I know the end is near.
Yeah,
so why not bite the bullet and do it?
Yep.
And so I'm just curious, is the best way to transfer my files in, hopefully, programs over to the Windows 10? I understand the Windows used to have some kind of easy program to do that, and then someone told me that they stopped that program.
They did,
and I did look online. Apparently, on your website, I can't find the forum section anymore.
No, we got rid of that a long time ago.
Well, see, it's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. So, So migrating software is much more painful now, and Bob will tell you that from going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, you really can't migrate it. You have to reinstall it, right, Bob?
Yeah, your programs you're going to have to reinstall.
Right.
Your data, you just got to copy it over. It's kind of like we went back to Windows XP, if you will.
Yeah. So you're going to take a third-party hard drive or something like that, plug it into your old Windows 7, and make a copy of your data. All right.
Okay.
You should already have a backup now, knowing that your hard drive is clicking.
Well, I have a backup. Yeah, yeah. I'm using a backup external hard drive. And once a month or so, I just plug it in and back up everything that's on there.
With a copy, so it's actual files that you can view, or using the software, the backup software.
Using the backup software.
Yeah. So that's fine. Doing a restoration on your Windows 10 from the Windows 7 might be more trouble than it's worth. A simple copy and paste might make your life a lot easier when it comes to migrating your data. But you could always practice. I mean, if you did a restoration of that old Windows 7 on your Windows 10 machine hardware, guess what? It's not going to work. That's kind of a snag when you go from one disparate operating system to another. So
okay.
A backup is great when you're trying to restore to a similar system. It can be trouble
right.
when you're restoring to something that's brand new. So you could restore your files.
Pick up a standalone hard drive and just copy it.
Yep. Copy your data.
Okay.
And then any applications you need to do, or you might have to download or reinstall from disk.
Okay.
If they're supporting
I'll
Windows 10. Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, you go online and you see all these different softwares you can download and buy and effortlessly, seamlessly migrate everything, and who knows whether they're worth a dime.
Well, if they were, we would be using them in our practice, which we have not found one, right, Bob, that we like, that is for Windows 10 migrations?
No, we're just doing the copy. What I typically do if the old machine is still running is I just share the C drive, and then I navigate to it from the new one, open up two windows, copy from the old to the new, and
a little networking there for that.
Have to install the programs.
Right. And most of the time you're installing new programs anyways.
Correct.
And
they still work with the old files.
Right.
Share the C drive.
If you want to network it out. You'd be doing that within a network, so you'd have to do a little bit of networking.
So when you're done, you want to unshare the C drive or get rid of the old PC.
Right. So if you're comfortable with networking, that might make sense. But it's easier to do an external hard drive for folks not messing with the network every day.
Yeah, I'm not that savvy with networking.
Yeah, just do the hard drive.
You won't be pulling your hair out.
Right.
Okay. So could I just, like, one of these, not, I don't know if it's okay to mention brand names.
Sure, go ahead.
Like a Seagate, backup drive.
Yeah.
Is that, can I use it as an external hard drive, or did it literally physically have to go buy a...
No, you can use it.
Alone?
You can use it.
Okay.
If you can see
Seagate, Western Digital, Toshiba, I mean, a lot of people make them.
Yeah. So if you've got room on the drive, just do a copy. So the files are now in their native file formats to the drive, and then connect it to your new computer, see if you can see the native files, and copy them over.
Okay.
If you use the backup software, it's going to be all compressed into a backup file technology, which is... You could try to restore it to your Windows 10. It might work. It's easier to do the copy and the paste for what you're doing.
Okay. All right. No, I just want to make sure, like, I could do this simple function without Seagate automatically having their software loaded in the backup drive to begin with, and then I'm right back in the same pickle.
It's all a matter of how you can navigate to the drive. If you can map, if the Seagate plugs in and you have a new E drive, let's say, mm-hmm. and then you can make a directory on it called, Rich Moving, and then go ahead and copy your data over, you're good. If you can't do that, then you need to just go get a separate drive.
Okay.
Multiple hard drives is a good thing anyways.
I'm sorry?
Multiple hard drives is a good thing anyways. Having more than one shot at your data is a good thing. So having the second backup is going to save you if your primary one ever is impacted or corrupted.
Okay.
All right?
All right. All right, I will try that. Thank
Good luck.
You, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Rich.
Great show. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right. We have a couple minutes here before the bottom there. We have to take a break. Let's go to Jim in Glastonbury. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, some time ago you recommended a printer that only prints black and hardly uses any ink.
Yeah, LaserJet. Any little LaserJet you can find, a couple $100.
Okay, LaserJet.
Yeah,
okay.
Not inkjet. Stay away from inkjet.
Okay, because we're sick and tired of filling the ink
Aren't
colors
you?
Up
I
and
know.
Everything.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts when you don't even use color.
Right.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those would be wireless also, those printers?
Yeah.
New ones are,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was easy, huh?
Yeah, it was easy. Thanks, Jim.
For a change.
Exactly.
Bye.
Right. Bye-bye. So real quick before the bottom of the hour, that caller that was confused about cutting the cable. So he, again, is in such an amazing spot there with that fiber service. If you can get a broadband connection like fiber, yes, it's a cable into your home. When the cable misnomer is used, it's cutting cable TV is really what they meant. Cut the cable. It's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. Cable TV. So, go ahead.
So it's like, you know, like I got rid of the cable, per se, in air quotes, because I was tired of paying $300 for 3,000 channels,
that you don't
and
watch.
I watched 10.
Exactly. So then the beauty, again, he was all concerned that saying, well, you know, if the bandwidth cost is going to go up, if you start getting content, and he didn't understand that Whip City Fiber has nothing to do with the services you choose to run across it. If you use Amazon Prime, you use Netflix, and also in other competing fiber services like GoNetspeed coming here to Connecticut, they will give you a lifetime guaranteed price cap, period. You pay for that. You pay what you pay forever, right? Because they're not impacted the way the cable companies were. And are. So cutting the cable is a beautiful thing, especially if you have access to broadband fiber like that for cheap.
So basically, what they're charging you for is the cost of putting in the fiber,
right?
And then maintenance.
Or think about it again, back to water. You're paying for the your 2.5 or half inch pipe to your home, but if you want to put a beautiful gold shower head on your shower, it doesn't affect anything, right? The water keeps coming out the same way.
Water costs you the same.
But you spend $4,000 on your shower head, and that's your choice. Same thing with cutting the fiber, cutting the cable and getting going to fiber. Do it. Trust me. We're all jealous. We want that competition. But, you know, guys like Murphy and Blumenthal just don't think it's important to get competition.
We've got to make sure the cable companies have enough money to put their names on stadiums.
Exactly. We're going to step out for a quick break. Melissa and Paul, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we were talking with a caller who was kind of worried about 5G taking radio frequencies, as if it was going to take WTIC's radio frequency or other radio frequencies. And he might have gotten confused because the idea of any kind of wireless communication, whether it be Wi-Fi in your house, whether it be your cell phone connecting to a tower, whether it be 5G, whether it be us speaking on the radio, uses radio band frequencies. And I was right. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or anything. They did use UHF as part of the band, but the frequency bands are, there's massive frequency bands when it comes to radio. And so there is no concern of them selling off our radio frequency, which is 1080. That's a frequency. Now again, I'm not an expert at radio, but you're using a radio wave based on that dial number on the band, right?
I mean, that's the frequency. Yeah.
So we posted a link out there for you. I think his name is Rich. Take a look at this article, and you'll understand more about how 5G is working. And you really don't have anything to worry about when it comes to AM radio or FM radio. They shouldn't be interfering. But like to Bob is talking a little bit off air with me, your remote control car uses radio.
Right.
But you have to make sure it doesn't have such a strong broadcast that it interferes with commercial radio, right? You wouldn't want your RC
car. It's all regulated.
Right.
And same thing with CB radio.
Right. So it's all based on basically radio frequencies range anywhere from 3 kilohertz to up to 300 gigahertz. That's just those are the frequencies. And so 5G is going to use some chunks of that, UHF being one of them. And
you have UHF and VHF and
you name it. But this article is pretty good and it'll explain things, but you have nothing to worry about. Your AM and FM radio should be fine. All right, let's go back to your calls and we're going to go to Paul in Lime Rock. Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning. What's up?
I have a Windows 10 machine I just got and
okay.
It has Edge.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Any way to get rid of Edge? Muted. I know it can't be deleted, but can I don't know, put it into limbo so that it doesn't bother me?
It shouldn't bother you.
Download Chrome and or Firefox. I recommend both. and set one of those as your default browser.
Yeah.
Okay, I have that running, but every now and then, I don't know, I'll hit something and I get this thing about, you know.
Okay, the other thing you want to do is download Adobe Acrobat Reader, the free version, and set it so that your PDFs open with Adobe Acrobat instead of Edge. And every time it does an update, Edge will want to open your PDFs. So then you got to change them back. But you right-click on a document shortcut that it's a PDF, and then choose Open With, and then set that as the default application for your PDFs. And then pretty much Edge won't come up anymore.
Yeah, but they're always going to try with an update to override settings.
Yes.
So Microsoft is going to eventually say again to you, hey, Paul, you want to use Edge?
No, they won't ask you. They'll just do
Paul, it. Paul, you want to use Edge? Here you go, Paul. Use Edge.
We have a better solution for you.
Yeah. Microsoft is going to smooth talks you into using Edge.
All righty, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
You got it, Paul. It's annoying. I mean, it's your computer. You paid Microsoft good money and whoever built your machine for the machine. You said, hey, Microsoft. The problem is the EULA, the thing you agreed to when you first turned on your Windows 10, said, by the way, we have the right to turn and change your computer into anything we wanted to, whether you like it or not. And actually, I was going to bring up an article. Germany, they think there's actually a huge reason to be worried about Microsoft in Germany, because all they use is Windows software. And they feel it's actually a national security risk to be using Microsoft. And I would agree, right? You turn that EULA on, they don't even know what kind of telemetry information Microsoft is taking from us, from our computers. And telemetry meaning where you are, what you're doing, what your browsers are doing. And Germany's saying, we're not even sure if they can comply with the EU's data privacy because we don't even know what they're doing on the computer.
They change my login screen, the background, every day.
Yes.
And they give me this view. Do you like this?
Yeah.
Do you not like this? I don't like this. But you know what? When I see something I like, I can only see it for one day.
Is when you click on yes, it only shows you the one day?
No, it doesn't matter. It changed because they're constantly pushing it up to you. When you go to log in, you have that screen.
Yeah.
But it's different every day.
I know.
And I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I don't like some of the pictures that they show. Just not my taste.
It's not your thing. Oh, all right. But they're always going to push their stuff on you. And those EULAs you agreed to said you could do that. And, of course, they could take your firstborn whenever they want to. That's a part of the EULA. Let's go on to Melissa in Manchester. Hey, Melissa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I guess you answered one of my questions. I was going to ask you what you think of the Microsoft Surface Pro, but I guess
not a big fan.
Not a big fan.
Okay. Now, you can actually, we'll put some links up there. They've had some major issues with this is their sixth flavor of it, and they're having issues with performance and battery and all sorts of stuff going wrong with it. They make a software program, which we've been talking about for 25 years. Why would you buy their hardware?
Yeah. All right. And, you know, I'm creeped out by Google, definitely.
Yeah.
I work in an education environment, and they've so infiltrated everything and talk about grabbing information from people. So I avoid Google Chrome and I use Firefox. And,
yeah.
You know, I use some of the other stuff. And so I'm kind of anti-Google too, but
sure.
I don't know what I'm going to do next. But the other question I had is Quicken and QuickBooks.
Okay.
I have a couple of very, very small businesses, and I do my father's, almost 90-year-old father's bills and other kinds of things using Quicken.
Yep.
I have never used all of the, you know, integration to his bank account and stuff and to your credit cards, that all that kind of creeps me out too. So
okay.
I just want something simple to write checks and keep a check register. I didn't know if any of the small businesses you work with use something that seems really simple and doesn't require me to spend money every year, and they're always trying to dive into things I don't want them to dive into.
Well, so the problem was that last bit of what you said, right? So almost every one of our clients is going to use QuickBooks pretty much.
Okay.
That's what they're going to use to do their small business.
Versus Quicken. Quicken's like for personal. QuickBooks is for
companies. Right, and I do the personal checking with the Quicken, right.
Yeah, so if you don't want to pay for anything, I mean, you can do the old-fashioned thing and write checks manually and all that, which is more time-consuming. I know, that's the idea of automation is supposed to make it easier for you, right? But No, I don't. I couldn't give you any other alternatives. QuickBooks is one of the biggest ones out there. Now, you don't necessarily have to buy the new version every year.
I haven't, and I typically skip about 3 years. But the last time I did that, you know, it was a lot of challenge in installing the new one, and I was on, you know, with tech support for like an hour and create a different version and do this. They make it difficult.
Right? Isn't that funny?
You know. It's my fault, I suppose.
Well, they do it on purpose, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to make it difficult, but of course they do it so that you're punished enough to stay current.
I know. So I guess I'm going to have to stick with Quicken. Now, they seem to have the monopoly, and I just keep thinking someone's going to have just this really simple, you know, most like a, I know, the integration of like an Excel sheet to do a register and check writing, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
there used to be a lot of those types of software out there. Remember Microsoft Money?
And,
you know,
they did a great job, but they didn't make any money on it, so
they let it go.
Yeah,
that's the other problem is we have to support the software folks who are writing the software so that it stays running, and a lot of people don't like doing that. They're like, Eric, I don't want to keep paying these guys support. Well, unfortunately, it's your ERP system, and it runs your whole business. If they go away, what are you going to do? I mean,
you're going to write your own software?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, we definitely need to support it. It's just that I think what Quicken has done is they not only want your money for buying the software, but then they're making lots of money at throwing other things at you and like holding information hostage to integrate it. And that's what drives me.
What example do you have for that? What do you mean?
Well, I just think, you know, the integration of credit cards, and then they're selling you credit cards, and then, you know, they're doing the loans, and, I mean, there's just this, you know, bigger and bigger universe of Quicken, and they control all aspects of it.
Yep.
So that's the part that bothers me.
But, I don't blame you.
I would love a little guy. I'd pay this, you know, more money to a little guy who is keeping things simple. But they're not out there.
They're not out there right now that I know of. Maybe other folks do, but not that we see. We see mostly QuickBooks in our client base.
The days of people writing software and then publishing it for free are pretty much gone because, you know, a guy can't spend his time writing software and then not getting paid.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I know. I can understand that. The other question was my almost 90-year-old father. He's very used to his Windows 8 environment. I know that that's not going to be supported anymore. I did not upgrade to Windows 10.
Cause Windows 8, you're saying, though, Melissa?
No, no.
Windows 7, you mean.
Yeah, Windows 7.
Yeah.
Windows 7. Yeah, so he's very familiar with that.
Right.
And I know that you had described that there's a mimicking thing. Even if you upgrade to 10, you can go back to the look of a Windows 7.
Classic shell.
Yeah.
Classic shell, okay. I haven't done that, but I know that they're no longer supporting Windows 7.
As of January.
You know, you might upgrade him to Windows 10 at some point, and he may be okay with it. If he's okay with it, I'd say stick with the 10 interface. Otherwise, you might go with Classic Shell. Now, one of the secrets, I think, is when you install programs, they don't automatically put them on the menu.
Yeah.
So you got to go to the menu, right-click, and click, to pin it to the start menu. And then you want to pin. I also like to pin it to your taskbar.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, if he can see the icons, I think he'll be all right.
Yep.
Yeah, he might be able to figure it out. Okay. And then last question is, if I do get a new laptop or computer, how do I get rid of bloatware? And could you publish something about that, a step-by-step guide?
Sadly, it's been our niche for our clients for the past 25 years. That's why we build machines, because if we don't include all that junk that you get, quote-unquote, for free. There is no guide that I could give you. There might be a guide online that I could try to find, but basically you just uninstall the junk, right? All the quote-unquote free antivirus software that you're not going to use, any applications you're not going to use. You just have to be vigilant, go through each app and remove it, depending on whatever you buy. There might be some guide out there from like CNET or something like that, but it's different for every manufacturer, so you just got to look at it and uninstall it.
And do you sell computers just to regular people on the street, or is it only to businesses?
Only to businesses. We really can't serve the general public, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give it a shot then. Thanks so much. You guys do wonderful work.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, stepping out for a quick break. We're going to get to Lee and Bill. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Dr. Alessi's up next, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. But let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Lee in Ashford next. What's going on, Lee?
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning. You okay?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, good. Listen, I recently, about a month ago, upgraded to version 1903, the Windows 10.
All right.
And ever since that,
mm-hmm.
whenever I'd start the computer up and, you know, that scene that comes on from Windows with the nice mountains and the lake and all that stuff.
Yeah, Bob was talking about that earlier. Yes.
It's totally blurry, totally out of focus.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And before that, it was fine.
Of course. Yeah. So
what did they do to me?
Well, Microsoft doesn't like the driver anymore.
Your
video driver. It worked with Windows 10 XYZ PDQ, but with XYZ PDW, it doesn't work.
Oh.
In this case, 1903. So you have to update your video driver, hopefully. Oh. Is that an old machine?
It's about 3, maybe 5 years old.
5 years old. So
yeah.
Go to the website.
I mean, the Windows 10 was just recently installed.
So go to...
It came with 8.1, and I had it upgraded... maybe just 2 years ago,
yep.
10.
Bob's got an answer for you.
So
yeah?
Go to the manufacturer's website and go to their support and where they have the drivers and applications. Find the video driver.
For your model.
For your
computer.
Model.
Yeah.
And then download that and install it.
Okay.
So Microsoft, whatever they chose for your video driver, they broke it. And you need to download it specifically.
Okay, go to it's HP machine.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you go to HP's website, go to the support page, and you should be able to go and look for your model.
Look up your model, yep.
Okay.
And then go to the video drivers area, download the latest drivers for Windows 10, and hopefully, Lee, it'll work.
Oh, well, that sounds simple.
It does.
Can be.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lee. Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's too bad that after you've got a perfectly good machine working, it upgrades and they break something on you. Thank you, Microsoft. Thank you. May I have another? Let's go on to Bill in Windsor. Hey, Bill.
Morning. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Listen to your advice about cutting the cable. I did this over a year ago. In my case, it was Comcast, and I started streaming directly. Been more than pleased with that decision.
More than pleased? Good.
And just recently, Comcast, I think it was last week, started advertising this free Xfinity Flex streaming device that they're now providing to their internet-only subscribers. They previously charged $5. Its intention is to compete with Roku, Apple TV. They claim in their advertising it to connect to platforms like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube TV.
Yeah.
But when you call Comcast and you inquire about, what do I do to obtain this box? After talking to a rep who had to actually go do some research that she wasn't even aware that it was free yet, she came back with, oh, there's one little snag. You have to rent the modem from Comcast to be able to use this Xfinity Flex streaming device.
There's the $10 extra.
You cannot use your own modem.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to pass that along to you because you advocate going to this cutting cable movement, and this has just recently came out on the news, and I can't be the only one who was going to be inquiring about this.
Yeah,
device.
I would never buy another piece of hardware from the cable company ever. Period.
I wouldn't either.
They've made their money off us 20-fold, and I am just looking for an alternative, a 5G one with T-Mobile, maybe wireless, a broadband one through with fiber. That'd be great. Just keeping my internet connection with cable, that's fine. But I'll never buy a box from them. I'll never buy a gadget from them. I'll never buy a service from them. They've lost me as a customer because of what they've done to us over the past 15, 20 years,
exactly.
And making us pay so much, it was a collusion between our lawmakers and the cable companies to allow for one option. Where in America, where can you get any car color you want except it has to be black? That was back when Ford started back in the building the Model Ts. But here in America, one broadband company for you. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, but they'll tell you there's competition out
there
because there's multiple cable companies. The problem is they all have the territories all carved out.
Yeah, it's
so
almost
they can't sell.
They got the map all carved out.
Yeah, it's horrible and disgusting, and it's harmed us as a country. It has. I mean, it's held us back. Yes, period. So, Bill, thank you for letting us all know. Even if it was free, I wouldn't use it.
Right. And it's interesting that it will work, but you need to buy their modem.
Yeah, forget it.
Have a nice week.
You too, Bill. Thanks for letting us know.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And, of course, if you go on Facebook and follow us on Facebook at Tab Computer Systems, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed. And I want to thank Mike G for posting all this for you. I want to thank Matt for producing. And stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.